Hello and welcome to whatever this podcast is called. It's actually been a very long time and I realise I start every single episode with, hello, it's been a while, sorry. But yeah, it's been a while and welcome back to this podcast. I was thinking about this earlier. I realised that the last time I actually recorded an episode, it was a match preview for Bayern who had just been drawn against Arsenal in the Champions League. Good news, Bayern actually beat Arsenal, so that's good. I was on the TV twice talking about that. And then Bayern lost to Real Madrid, who went on to win the competition. They signed Kylian Mbappe on a free and they just keep winning and they're improving their squad year on year. Oh, look at me. I'm Real Madrid. I'm really good at football and I keep getting better and better. Grow up. Who cares? But yeah, moving on. Bayern ended up, they lost the Champions League and then they ended up coming third in the Bundesliga, rounding off what was already quite a bad year. In actually quite a bit worse manner than anybody had thought previously possible. All very funny, all really quite hilarious. There was a very brief campaign that was advocating for Thomas Tuchel to stay on as manager. That lasted about half hour. There was a bit of a merry-go-round with managers. There was talks that, well, Allegri's now free, he's left Juventus, and, well, I don't know, maybe Pep Guardiola could potentially look to leave Man City, or there's every chance that Ralph Rangnick's available, maybe. And then nothing really came of that. Everybody declined. And then Bayern then appointed Vincent Kompany as manager. And all things considered, it's actually been largely quite positive since then. Certainly in terms of like on-the-pitch performances, and I think how he carries himself is quite good. I personally really like Kompany. I've had a couple of mates ask me, what are Bayern doing appointing Vincent Kompany? I get it. I fully get it. I think if you were to say a couple of seasons ago, by the way, Bayern's next manager is going to be somebody that got Burnley relegated, I'd probably be a bit reluctant. I can't deny it. It's not something that would fill me with bundles of joy. But I think, and this is going to sound like I'm just desperately trying to cope with the situation, I think it's actually something of a positive. I think this is a really good thing. I think Bayern aren't necessarily appointing the guy that got Burnley relegated, but rather the guy that got Burnley promoted in the first place. Because I do think they are essentially the same person. I do think that there is a very different context there. I think that with Vincent Kompany, when he was in the Championship with Burnley, what they were doing was far greater than what every other team was doing. I think getting them promoted so easily, being so dominant and so attacking, and leading the way in such a significant manner, it's very different and very difficult to then be the person who will say, okay, and now we're at the very bottom of the table. I think there's something quite reassuring about the fact that this was such a surprise appointment and potentially one that looks bad. Again, this is just sound like I'm just trying to be like, oh no, it's actually quite a good thing. But I do think that there is something in appointing someone like Vincent Kompany to say, okay, we're not doing it based on this, but we're actually doing it based on this other thing that's happening. This could all blow up in my face, you know, the next time I record an episode of this and it's like mid-March and Bayern are absolutely dead last. Something to look forward to. But yeah, as a whole, I'm all in for Vincent Kompany, and I think what I saw during pre-season was really positive, like very heavy pressing high up the pitch as well, everybody doing their bit, in particular the attackers, a lot of quick passing. And in the two competitive games that we've seen so far, so obviously Bayern beat Ulm 4-0 in the cup, just gone, and they beat Wolfsburg 3-2 at the weekend, I think as a whole, things have translated quite well. So yeah, all in all, I'm all for Vincent Kompany. I think if we look at the Wolfsburg game, which is what I'm going to be talking about a bit today, if we look at that, yes, there are a couple of things that are worth mentioning. However, I do think that it's less to do with his management and tactics, and it's actually more on individual mistakes. So without further whatever it is, I want to focus entirely, for the most part anyway, on two players. So I know it's only been one game so far, one league game, but even what we saw last year wasn't brilliant. And that's the partnership of Diopa Meccano and Min-jae Kim. In my opinion, this is a bad and dangerous backline to play. I think it's very, very, very shaky. There's obviously quite a lot to talk about in terms of the transfers out of the club. I think that's probably one thing that a lot of Bayern fans will look at to say, okay, great, you've got Michael Olise, you've got Japalini, you've got Hiroki Ito from Stuttgart. There are positives here with players coming in, but it's the transfers out that are being the problem. And I think that that conversation does certainly play a big part in this conversation now. The game wasn't great. I think it certainly had moments. I think there were moments that were really positive. I think for the majority of the first half, Bayern looked really strong. They're also strong in stretches in the second half. That isn't on Vincent Kompany, though. That's a problem that's been with Bayern for years, where they start strong or they start weak and then they get into it. Or if they start strong, they're great, and then immediately after halftime, it all kind of falls apart. That's kind of similar to what happened here. But there are a couple of moments, in particular in the first half, but really very much so in the second half as well, where both Min-jae Kim and Upamecano just showed that neither of them are comfortable enough either working with each other or working in the way that they perhaps need to in order to get the best results for Bayern. You can maybe make the argument that the manager is in charge of positioning and mistakes that happen in that position or players being out of position. Yeah, you can say that's on the manager. That's their fault for being too aggressive, for being too conservative. But I think a pass across the goal line after 7 minutes to Upamecano, that's not a managerial thing. So a fumbled back pass to Neuer isn't a managerial decision. I think making mistakes, being put under pressure so easily, these aren't managerial problems, because we've seen that under every manager. I think it's a really, really big issue that is not so much evident of poor management, but rather just these two players not really being up for it. I've seen some points on like Twitter and Reddit of, oh, if Joao Paulinho's presence in midfield, you know, if he was there, that kind of changes everything, that would help to alleviate some of this. But, you know, fundamentally, you can put the greatest, most impenetrable holding midfielder in the world on that pitch. Those mistakes are still happening. It's got nothing to do with the players around them. It is really just very, very bad decision-making from these players. So if we look at Upamecano, he's one of those players who, you know, when he's good, he is good. Which sounds such a ridiculous thing to say, but like, he is good. The problem is, he has mistakes in him. And sometimes those mistakes don't happen, but they do happen. So he's really good at passing. He is capable of having great performances, making great tackles, playing out from the back. But when he messes up, it is catastrophic. I think every Bayern fan will be able to say the Man City games. I think it's very easy to just look at his career and be like, yeah, he's good, but those mistakes there, in particular against, well, in particular away, but also at home at the Allianz Arena. I was actually at the game against City in Munich, and it was very frustrating because as soon as Haaland was running at him, you just kind of knew this isn't going to be good, and it wasn't. It ended quite sadly. The next day, I was flying back, and I was on the same plane as Rio Ferdinand and Glenn Hoddle, of all people. Because they had obviously been over there, they were doing some form of commentary or punditry. I remember asking Glenn Hoddle, I was like, oh, what did you think of the game? And he said, oh, that Upamecano, he's useless. He's absolutely rubbish. And I'm like, he was yesterday, but this was the first mistake he's made all season. I think people have like blips every so often. Like, I don't think that's... I think to expect a professional footballer to be completely flawless constantly for 90 minutes, I think that is a bit much. Like, even the greatest players in the world have issues and they make mistakes. But I think with Upamecano, he was really, really good all season. And so I felt a bit annoyed that Glenn Hoddle was kind of boiling his whole career down to this one moment, and also like three moments the week prior. But it is kind of that situation where it's like, yeah, as a whole, he is really good, but it's just these issues are just completely unavoidable for him. He can be great like 9 times out of 10, or, you know, like 7.5 times out of 10, but it's all very well being great 6 times out of 10. But if you are making catastrophic mistakes 4 times out of 10, then you start to have to ask questions of like, is he good enough to start? I think in terms of like the base level that he is good enough to be part of Bayern's squad. But I think the issue that he has is that he cannot be relied on in pressure situations because of what we've seen so many times before. It's a big problem. And again, if he was just a centre-back at Bayern, I kind of don't really see much of a problem. But it's the fact that he is the starting centre-back at Bayern, or certainly one of them, that's kind of where the issues start to really show. So as for Min-jae Kim, it's tricky. I've been of the opinion now that the whole model of what the Kim Min-jae transfer is, I think it's something that Bayern need to avoid entirely. I think getting a 26-year-old defender for 55 million, who's only had one season in the top five leagues in Europe, is a huge risk. And I don't think it's paying off. And I know, again, it's one Bundesliga game into the season. I was kind of feeling this a lot last season as well. What I mean is that, yes, he did win Serie A when he was at Napoli. But I think of that whole team as like, this is kind of just like a lightning in the bottle moment. You have some players who are like, yeah, okay, this was kind of always going to happen. You were always going to win titles. When you have players like Kvaratskhelia, Victor Osimhen, where you have players who are just like head and shoulders above everybody around them. But obviously you still have good players to kind of facilitate that. But I think when the charge is kind of being held on the shoulders of like two or three like pretty significant players and everybody else around them is doing their bit, I think that's a problem because it creates this image of, oh, well, they won the league. They're obviously really, really good. I was thinking about this just before I started recording, how it's not too dissimilar, and I'm not saying it's identical, but it's not too dissimilar to Leicester winning the league in England, where you have a couple of players like Kante, like Mahrez, Vardy to an extent, but I think Vardy's kind of different. You have these players who it's like, yeah, you were kind of always going to do this because you are so much better. And then they kick on somewhere else. Obviously, Kante had a really great career at Chelsea. Mahrez did really well at Man City. You have these players who are just so much better in something of like, an undervalued team. But then for every Mahrez, you've got a Mark Albrighton. And for every Kante, you've got a Danny Drinkwater. And it's like, just because you're kind of in that doesn't mean that you are good enough. I think there has to be that expectation of like, okay, so you've done it this season. Can you then do it in the seasons following? And I think what Mahrez did was showed, yeah, I am better than everybody else on this team. And so when you go to Man City and then you just kind of effortlessly like hit the ground running at Man City, it's like, well, yeah, this was always going to happen. I think with Min-jae Kim, he's kind of in that same situation of he's kind of got caught up in that Osimhen, Kvaratskhelia situation where it's like, you are all part of this. You are all doing the same thing. I think that really got put to the test in like the latter half of the first half of last season, where Upamecano and Kim were just really not clicking. And it's kind of the same as what we saw against Wolfsburg. It just seems like quite lazy recruitment in a way. It's the sort of recruitment you kind of expect to see from a club like Manchester United or Chelsea, where it's like, okay, we've heard good things, great, cool, yeah, you won the league, therefore you are a league winner, therefore you are good enough to win the league. But it isn't that. It's actually quite a lot more to it than that. It's like, okay, you won the league, but you were playing in a very particular way. You know, you had this kind of player around you, you were playing maybe a bit deeper, you were doing something. It doesn't directly translate. If we look at last season, the thing that really steadied the ship for Bayern was that partnership of Eric Dier and Matthijs de Ligt. There's no point in complaining about it now because it's over, it's already done. But this is going to be a talking point all season and until something changes. Matthijs de Ligt should never have been sold by Bayern. In particular, based on last season, because him and Eric Dier were the most balanced partnership by a considerable margin. I've spoken about this before, but this ever-changing backline, because you can go back the last few seasons for Bayern, there's always been like two, like the main two centre-backs have been different pretty much every single season for about 5 or 6 years. So last season, the main centre-backs were Dier and De Ligt. Just before that, it was Upamecano and Kim. The season before that, it was De Ligt and Upamecano, but then like Hernandez was injured, but he was there a little bit. And then the season before that, they were playing a back three, and you know, you had Sula, and then you had Upamecano, and Hernandez was there. Pavard was there for a little bit as well. Then before that, you had Jerome Boateng, you had David Alaba. Like, it's just this constant change, and you can't really expect to find any sense of defensive security or consistency if you're constantly chopping and changing. I understand the idea of like rotation and like subbing players out and just making sure that everybody's like staying fit. But as a whole, going for these wholesale changes, it's just a big problem. And I think this problem started with Mats Hummels leaving. So I've said this before, but for my money, he was the last defender that Bayern had who had pretty much like the total package. So he was always composed. He could be a playmaker from the back. Like, his ability to play out from the back is probably second to none. He offered leadership. He was still fantastic at tackling. Even last season, at the grand old age of 35, he was still so capable of doing these things. Okay, he's lost a yard or 40 of pace, but he's still so good at everything else that for the most part, he was kind of getting away with it. Since he left in 2019, Bayern have spent 300 million euros on centre-backs, and not one of them has been better or maybe even as good as Mats Hummels. I think maybe there's an argument to be made that the legacy that Benjamin Pavard had was good. I think he was relatively consistent. He had a couple of ups and downs, but for the most part, he was playing as a right back and wanted to leave after two or three seasons anyway. I think Hernandez came in, huge expectations, huge price tag, was injured half the time, left without really saying goodbye. I say half the time, he was injured for most of the time. I think you can maybe make the argument that the closest that somebody's come to that is Matthijs de Ligt. I think maybe his passing ability is probably his biggest weakness. But when you look at who Bayern have as their options now, does that really matter? I don't know what the solution is to this. I'm fairly certain the solution isn't Jonathan Tah. Again, he's a player who isn't as bad as people are making him out to be, but he's certainly not the person to come in and just fix everything. I also don't know if the solution is get Mats Hummels back in. I think he's not the player that he was. He is still a very good player. But yeah, as a whole, I don't know what that solution is, but I would really hope that against Freiburg, Bayern's next game, I really hope something changes, because that defensive line was very, very bad. I think elsewhere against Wolfsburg, one of the players that's worth talking about is probably Sacha Boey. So he got his first start at right back for Bayern since joining in January. And again, much like the game as a whole, this was very much a game of two halves for him. I think if he played in the second half as well as he played in the first half, there might be shouts for him being in like player of the week, because I think what he showed going forward is really, really good. I think the criticism that he got last season of, oh, why can't he play as a left wing back? He did so badly as a left wing back. Yeah, he's a right back. He's always been a right back. It's ridiculous to say, oh yeah, it's the same position. It's not. I think, yeah, he didn't have a great game against Leverkusen, but why would he? He was playing in a completely different position than he's ever played in his entire career. I think what we saw against Wolfsburg is a guy that's really great at going forward. I think the connection that he had with Michael Olise was really promising. Very, very direct. I think his assist was fantastic. I think it was really great. I saw the build ratings, and I think he got a 3. I think him and Musiala probably have a shout to have been like Bayern's best players. I think Sacha Boey did really, really well, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of him this season. And in the attack, it was just business as usual. I think Olise looked good, but obviously he still needs time to settle into it. Gnabry looked dangerous at times, so if he can keep up his form like throughout the season, then that's good news. But that's been said about him and Koeman and Sané for the last 4 years, so honestly, who knows at this point. But yeah, I think as a whole, generally speaking, it's far too early to be making snap judgments, even though I'm fairly certain that's what I've been doing for the last 20 minutes. Next game against Freiburg, they're actually league leaders, so I think technically Bayern are the underdogs. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this season. I think it's going to be good. I think it's really exciting that you've got a manager who is young, hungry. He's really articulate. I love listening to Vincent Kompany talk. I realise that doesn't exactly mean anything in terms of a manager's tactical ability, but I'm all for it. I'm on the company train. I think there's just a few things that Bayern need to iron out. And I don't know what happens with this defence. I'd love to see a future where De Ligt finds his way back to Bayern. But, yeah, I don't know. It's anyone's guess. But until next time, my name's Tim Richards. This is, I need to look it up, I think it's the Raumdeuter podcast. Yeah, that's what we'll call it. I don't know when I'll next make another episode, but I'm hoping it'll be before the end of the season. So, yeah, until then, take care and I'll see you later.